Is Varg an atheist? Let's find out. What is going on, everybody? Big Dave Martell here on The Bog. The Bog will be back on Hrafnfolk Network next week, but unfortunately we have to do it here on down here at home. Not unfortunate, but it's okay. We always like being back here at home on the Big Dave Martell YouTube channel, to which you should like, subscribe, share, do all that good stuff, tell all your friends, get it out there, blah, 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 blah. You know the whole shtick. Follow me on Twitter, at Big Dave Martell. Gab and mine's at Dave Martell. And you can find me on Facebook. Also, before we get started, I'll give a shout-out to my homegirl, Miss Hannah, at Traditional Apothecary, traditionalapothecary.bigcartel.com. I use it. My wife uses it. My mom now uses it. It's for us, by us, support folkish economy, and give your body what it deserves, real organic ingredients from the earth, from America, North America, homemade, homegrown, no synthetics, no poisons, no alcohols, no garbage. Opt out of the system, man. You know, you got these multinational corporations, these globalist corporations. They hate your guts, man, and they sell you poison and all this chemical, synthetic gobbledygook that trashes your hair, trashes your skin, trashes your body. Stop using it. Stop taking it. Give your body what it needs. Our ancestors gifted us with such beautiful features. We owe it to them, and we owe it to ourselves. So keep your beard robust. Keep your white bright. And keep your mane flowing like Big Dave and his whole family. And go to traditionalapothecary.bigcartel.com. Promo code Dave to get 10% off. And we got a lot to talk about tonight, so we're gonna get started here in a second. But before we get started, I know this is bad timing. Me and Mr. Griff that I'm gonna introduce here in a second. Planned this like a week ago to talk about this, and this has been a topic that has been up for a lot of discussion. You know, with the polytheism versus atheism within paganism, and if it's a thing at all, which I don't think it is, but we're going to talk about that tonight. But before we get started, I heard like an hour ago that Mr. Varg actually got his YouTube channel taken down. So, this is philosophy. This is philosophical disagreements. This is about spiritualism. This has nothing to do with Varg's channel. Which I disavow YouTube for doing that to him. I hope that he'll be all right. You know, he's got a real big following. He's got a really loyal audience. So, his new channel is going to be up in no time. But it's very unfortunate because, as I said before, my disagreements with Varg are purely philosophical. They're purely based on the lore. They're purely based on spiritual stuff. So it has nothing to do with any of this other stuff. His family is beautiful. He's got a big, beautiful family. The stuff that he talks about with traditionalism and permaculture, and we are 100% on board with all that. He does a really great job getting that message out there and getting that people to think about that. And all that stuff. But tonight we're not talking about that. Tonight we are going to talk about some of his spiritual notions, some of his philosophies, which we are going to demonstrate tonight to be false. Because, what does Odin say about if you see things that are wrong, what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to dispute them. You're supposed to go find it wherever you see it. And, take it down a notch. So here's the thing about spiritualism, man. You know, who am I? What kind of man am I if I don't call things out that I know to be false? You know, we talk about it all the time. You know, we speak truth. Truth is the highest of all virtues. You know, it's what we strive for. If we're not out here speaking truth and we're not out here correcting falsehoods, even if it's, you know, not socially expedient, then who are we? We're not men. We're cowards. So I am obligated to call out things that I believe to be false, or I know to be false, actually. So this is what I'm doing. It's no way a personal attack. It's no way a personal spat. It's not drama. It's not divisiveness or whatever people want to say it is. This is correcting philosophical falsehoods and airing out philosophical disagreements. If there's one tradition that has made our people great, that is completely woven into the texture of our culture and who we are, it's debate. It's debate. So we're going to open up this debate, and this debate's going to keep going, because this is how you refine truths, this is how you refine philosophies, and this is how you get smarter and you sharpen your swords of intellect. But before I filibuster all night long, I'd like to introduce you guys to my buddy Angriff. Papa Griff, what's up, my man?
Hey, really great to be here with you tonight, Dave. And we got a long list of things we're going to discuss, I think. So we better get started. Although, before we do, I will say that your intro about Varg and the Tommy stuff was, and I will completely agree with you, that stuff about his family, his goals of permaculture and independence and dropping out of the system are things I completely agree with as well.
Absolutely, 100%. Like, who could even...
Oh, now let's get down to brass tacks and talk about why he's wrong and why we have to counter signal.
Yeah. So, okay, so me and you are theists. We are, you know, primarily of, you know, the epic school, which the epic school is, you know, it has some trappings of teachings from Victor Rydberg. However, epicism as a whole is the understanding... It is the formulaic approach, the methodology of understanding that the gods are indeed real, and this is indeed a legitimate religion. It's not anything else. Anything else is either secondary or just completely false. First and foremost, the gods are real. You know, so, Mr. Griff, let's talk about what is theism?
Well, as you said, it's to actually live and know and think of, you know, think of Odin, think of Thor, think of Frey. Hey, that's an actual personality. Maybe we don't, and even there's an aspect that, yeah, we won't ever understand their nature exactly, be able to explain it, but we know that they're linked to us through blood. They're linked through us through history all the way back to at least the Bronze Age, probably farther. And again, these are specific gods that, yeah, you pray to for specific things, or... You know, you might have family ties or specific life experiences that give you some preference of one deity versus another. But you also live a world where you see there's polyvalent deities. You don't, even a henotheist, you don't prioritize one to the exclusion of all the others. That's just a weak form of a weak form of monotheism, which, again, I would argue is itself a weak form of atheism.
Yeah, you know, one of the first criticisms, when I talk about polytheism, you know, and I did a video, you know, yesterday, a couple days ago or whatever, when I was talking about what is secular paganism, that it can't exist, because in order to be a pagan, you have to be a polytheist. In order to be a polytheist, you have to be a theist. So when you get into this, you know, you have the umbrella of polytheism. And under polytheism, you have a lot of different options. One of the biggest criticisms I get when I talk about this is, oh, well, you're trying to force people to believe a certain way, or you're being like an Abrahamic, or like you're being...
But even that criticism is something I already touched on. Like, do we know exactly the nature of the gods? No. I would argue that that's something we can't know. There's some things that are mysteries and aren't meant to be known by men.
Or that we don't know yet. You know, that's...
Well, I suppose there's always an open possibility. I mean, certainly as a living, believing theist, my relationship with the gods develops the more I practice ritual, the more I introduce prayer into my life, that it, and I get to know gods with a personal way. So I guess that's, yeah, that we do know their nature more as we actually engage with this as a real religion. Hey, look, it turns out when you engage with gods from a perspective of knowing they're real and not, well, LARPing, to use a term that is a bit meme-y, but...
Yeah. So here's what I... This is kind of like... Under the umbrella of polytheism, it's not like this hard line, you know, you're dogmatic. It's not like that. It's under the umbrella of polytheism, each god has a different approach. Each god can have a different doctrine or dogma or whatever you want to say.
Well, like I said, you know, different people, different tribes, different families, different related cousin nations will have different perspectives and relative rankings, per se, of how this god interacts exactly with that god and which particular myths they find most animating and, you know, which saga is the one that most they at most identify with. And that will, sure. You know, it's all very complex.
Yeah.
But again, so that's why we're saying that it's not dogmatic at all. But, you know, you have to have basic agreement that, yes, this is a real religion. We're talking about real gods that are actual animating forces in the universe, and they're in a plurality. That's called polytheism.
Yeah, 100%. And the thing is, in order to be under the umbrella of polytheism, you have to be a theist. You know, you're not even under the umbrella. You're something else. So if you don't accept, and that's what paganism is. Paganism is polytheism. You know, it's, paganism refers to folk religions, ancient European folk religions. And we know empirically, without a doubt, based on evidence, based on historical records, based on the lore itself, based on the sacred text itself, based on everything, we know for certain 100% that our ancestors in the primordial authentic practice, in the tradition, believed 100% in real living deities.
Yeah, and I don't think that you can even present a serious argument. Again, as you said, there's when you look at it as from any evidence, from any source, from any historical perspective, the only perspectives that stop at, that even consider the idea that the gods are archetypes or ideas or blah blah, or you know, to talk specifically about the person we have the disagreements with, that he frames basically believing in literal gods as. Well, I think he basically says that it's Christian propaganda to make us look stupid or something. Like, if you think it's stupid to actually believe that Odin is real, that Thor is real, then you're not a pagan. You're an atheist.
Yeah, and here's the whole thing about it. It's like, and it's not you know, I see people in the chat. Oh, you're causing infighting and stuff like. It's not about infighting, and it's not about you know.
As you said, it's about being. Men who are upright can look each other in the eye, can look at yourself in the mirror. And again, being that we are both actual pagan polytheists, taking after the example of Odin, this is a guy who literally cut out his own eye for wisdom and knowledge. I don't think we have to quite go that far, but we should do the best in our power.
Yeah. And it's not about, you know, splitting up the greater. You could be folk-minded anything. You could be folk-minded atheist, you could be folk-minded, you could be a folk-minded Christian, you can be a folk-minded anything, you know. So it's like, I'm not saying that, you know, we should go off into our little corner and screw everybody in the greater, like, folk-minded community or movement or what have you, I guess you could say pro-folk movement. I'm, you know, because of all the censorship going on right now, I'm being very careful with my words. You guys know the greater entity that we're all part of. We can absolutely still be friends, and we can still shake hands, and we can still work together and stuff like that. This comes down to the philosophy of paganism and who is considered a pagan and who is not. That definitions are important. Definitions are important. Semantics are important, because if you don't have definitions, if you don't have objectivity, you end up with this weirdo clown world stuff that we have. You know,
well, Dave, I would say that if you don't admit that words have real meaning and power and that they actually mean what they say, you're just on a slippery slope and you're suddenly a postmodernist arguing that everything's a fucking social construct.
Yeah. We got a super chat from Love is a four-letter word. Respected love. Much, much respect and love to you. Thank you so much. Yeah. So It's not, I'm not getting out here doing this to, like, make myself look cool or to be a jerk to anybody or anything. It's just, I mean, when you say you are a pagan, you have to be an authentic pagan. Like, we can't have people saying things that just aren't true. So what we're doing is we're out here correcting the what's false and, you know, pointing out what is true and what is false so that people can go forward with an authentic tradition. Because what is most important, if you want to awaken that genetic memory, if you want to awaken that folk consciousness, if you want to tap into those things, the web of woad or odor, somebody I've heard people call it, you know, the morphic field or like folk consciousness, whatever you want to call it. In order to tap into that, in order to do that, you have to replicate authenticity as close as possible when it comes to ritual. And if you're not being authentic, then you're not doing it right. And what we're doing is we're giving people the tools to do it right and showing people what they're doing is incorrect. So we're not doing this to be jerks or cause fights or anything. We're doing this because we're trying to champion what is true. Now, moving on, you mentioned something about, here's another thing about the whole Varg, I don't know what you could say, I guess what would be the word for the Varg dogma or the Varg ideology? Is he presents
the Varg Weltanschauung?
What Varg presents is he's got this dichotomy of monotheism versus atheism, and this is like just the core of that triggers me because it's like that's not what a dichotomy is. You know what I mean? A dichotomy is two polar opposites. You know what I mean? It's two sides of a decision. And you can't, and you each side has to be brought down to its prime. For example, positive, negative, is, isn't, negentropy, entropy. Like these are, you know, so when you say monotheism versus atheism, that doesn't make any sense. The correct dichotomy is theism versus atheism. And that he says that the dichotomy is because of Christian propaganda or something like that. When in actuality, the debate of theism versus atheism has been going on for thousands of years before Christianity was even thought of.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry to disagree with any of that. As you say, it's I've tried something of a trope to say, but I don't think there's anything wrong when you say that monotheism is what? Atheism except for one.
Yeah.
And okay, but even a true monotheist has more in common with us as actual theists, as you say, polytheists, but to actually see that there's animating force behind the world, that there's divinity behind what we interact with directly, superficially. And we could talk about the different nature of that, and I think it's on the list for some point, but...
yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I mean, I get a lot of crap like, oh, why are you hanging out with, you know, Catholics? It's like, well, okay, so obviously I have, you know, philosophical, spiritual disagreements with my Christian friends, and 100%. But here's the difference between, you know, them and, like, materialists and why I sort of, you know, I get along fine with them. You know, I mean, a lot of us here have read Evola. What is Evola? What, above all else, what does Evola teach? Evola teaches, and I have some disagreements with Evola too. I got all kinds of crap for saying that I disagreed with Evola. But
I disagree with Evola quite a bit too. But it's beyond the scope of tonight's conversation.
But he's got some. He's a really brilliant man. One of the most important thinkers of all time. And you could disagree with 80%. His contribution to, you know, I guess the table of thought throughout time and spirituality was monumental. And him himself was a very brilliant, incredible man that lived an incredible life. So I'm not in any way going to say anything bad about him. But anyway, above all else, despite disagreements, what does Evola teach above all else? He teaches that the problem with, you know, the modern world that he tells you to revolt against, the problem with the ruins that he says the men are among, you know, all of these things. What is he referring to? He's referring to, you know, he specifically talks about, I believe it's in Men Among the Ruins. I can't remember which it's one of his books. He talks about, he goes in great detail and talks about Nietzsche talking about, you know, his critique of Nietzsche's God is dead. And when he's talking about that, he says, well, Nietzsche points out that, you know, he's saying that in this realm, in this world, in modern day, God is dead because people no longer need God. And then he goes on to say...
Well, it's also just that there's nothing left that's sacral. There's no sacred.
There's nothing. Yeah, exactly.
You know, everything sacred has been destroyed and removed from the world, and it's pretended that even the closest thing they have to sacred are protected classes from liberalism.
Yeah. So,
but it's just material classes and...
Yeah, 100%. Exactly. And that's what he gets at. He says, to get away from materialism, to get out of postmodernism, to get away from this, you know, as we call clown world or the wolf age or Ragnarok or Kali Yuga, whatever you want to call it, in order to get away from that, to be a traditionalist, as he calls it, a perennial, you know, guy, you have to ascend to a principle or an ideal that is higher than materialism, that is higher than man. So when you get into, okay, so back to what my original point was, that the reason that I'm sympathetic to Catholics today that I'm, you know, friendly with and that I get along with, and, you know, obviously there's historical disagreements, there's philosophical disagreements, but they adhere to an ideal that is larger than themselves, that is above man, that is out of man's grasps. So because of that, that is a principle that we as polytheists have in common with them.
Well, I would also add that, again, since you're specifically referencing Catholics, the strength of Catholicism and Orthodoxy is that they have ritual in their lives as well. They believe and know that there's something greater, but it actually affects their life in terms of ritual and continuing tradition, even if it's one that you and I completely disagree with, it's still far above being a materialist, making it up as you go along.
Yeah. And, you know, before we start, we get too far, because we're already 25 minutes in here. I knew we were going to suck up a lot of time. But you know, me and Griff are both guys with a lot of words. But let's go. You mentioned something earlier that I think is monumentally important to understand when it comes to understanding the nature of divinity, and that is immanent versus transcendental divinity. You give us a rundown on that.
Well, again, I think it falls into the same trap as the way that Varg would phrase atheism versus monotheism as the dichotomy. They do atheism versus transcendental theism. You know, they don't even introduce or encourage or consider the idea of immanent gods, which are a completely different phenomenon from the idea of a transcendent god that is otherworldly in a platonic, literal platonic sense.
Yeah. And the way that I describe, I try to explain the difference between immanent and transcendental divinity is immanence exists within the natural world, and transcendental is like in a place that is far off. You know, we understand that our gods come from the universe, are born of the universe, and then people that are transcendental, Christians and so forth, believe that their God created the universe. So the argument that I have with this idea is the idea of what is natural versus what is supernatural. To me, supernatural is, you know, like one thing, what a Christian, like, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say, to me, it's exactly what you're saying. It's that supernatural is just the aspects of nature that we don't regularly perceive, but they're just hiding right there behind in a way that is hard to pick up on, and you can occasionally feel and interact with, but not in the same way that you can interact with, say, the specific nature of a leaf from a tree.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And when we talk about our cosmology, it's immanent. You know, it's within the realm of reality. It's within the realm of I don't want to say the realm of physics, but it's within the natural world. You know, yes, They are other planes of existence. Yes, they are, you know, I guess you could say extra dimensional or of sorts. But they still, they're places that you go. Like, it's a real place that you could, you know, go to, in theory. In theory. Obviously, you can't go to, like, a quantum realm. But, in theory, it's there. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, again, I think it was a good way that you phrased it, that, you know, it's when you believe in a transcendent divinity and, you know, other things that go along with it, with, like, their conception of the afterlife and all that, that it's... it is removed. There's no spatial relationship between it, that it's beyond, you know, to them, supernatural means even beyond the idea of space and time. Whereas, as you say, you know, another world in the Norse conception is another place that you could theoretically go to, even if we don't know how to, you know, it's not like we have a map and can directly go there or.
Yeah.
But it's still a spatial relationship. It's imminent. It's right there. It's just,
yeah,
off in a direction we don't.
And a lot of times, you know, usually the Christians that come at me and, like, give me a bunch of trouble are, like, you know, Protestants, like, I guess, like, evangelist types or whatever. And they, you know, they have a script that they kind of say. They don't have the, you know, like I said earlier, I disagree with it. But a lot of times Catholics have a much deeper understanding of their theology and stuff like that. So it's easier to have a good conversation with them. But with the Protestants or the evangelists, they're just, like, you know, I mean, they're just not as smart. So what they'll come out and I'll say, you know, my argument is usually, where is heaven? Where is heaven? Well, you know, it's so they can't explain. It. Well, can we go there? Well, you know, so it doesn't exist. No, it exists. So why can't you go there? You know, I mean, our cosmology is, in theory, we could build some sort of science ship and teleport there or something. Like, it's there. There's a spatial relationship. You're telling me that this place, it's either within the realm of nature or it's not, or it doesn't exist. In my, you know, that's the way I see it. So it's like, that's my opinion. Like, the way that I explain it a lot is I say, yo, everybody's seen Magic School Bus.
Well,
go ahead.
I would add that there's real good arguments against the idea of a transcendent monotheistic God that, again, open the door to atheism, because, you know, there are serious problems that I suspect we're all familiar with from, I think most of us to get to here had at least a brief time as atheists. At least that's my path.
Yeah, sure. Sure. I did. I know I did.
You know, there's the obvious points that, you know, a God can't be simultaneously omnibenevolent, omnipotent, and omniscient and have evil be a thing. Like, that's a real fundamental issue with the transcendental idea of divinity.
Yeah. So, moving on, speaking of, you know, Christian influence and stuff like that, part of the whole, like, Varg ideology, Vargology, is he is very, very, you know, critical is a nice way to say it. He is very against Christianity as a whole. Everything is Christianity's fault. So, it's like, everything completely. However, he's got a few little things that he you know brings up, and you mentioned before the stream, you mentioned it's very his morality is very much like Calvinist. He's very Calvinist. So when he gets into and he talks about stuff like tattoos, he's against tattoos. He's against you know, drinking alcohol and these things, which are patently false. You know, I mean, you could.
Well, I gotta say that his narrative on alcohol is particularly stupid. The idea that, oh no, until Christianity came to, you know, Northern Europe, or specifically Norway and Sweden, that before that there was no alcohol. Are you freaking joking? And then he makes it based on, oh, hey, look, specifically there's a spirit there called aquavit, from, you know, the Latin water of life. And he bases it that, like, oh, this is a plot from Christians to make us stupid and not product-like. How do you even come up with that? I mean, It's so off base.
Yeah. Like in the lore, it says specifically about you know, drinking. Like guys are, they found,
you know, and there's Odranir, you know.
Yeah.
Odin gives Odranir. They seek it out and make it.
Yeah. And aren't like all of the wells filled with booze?
You know, they seal the war between the Vanir and the Aesir with brewing the first mead.
Yeah.
They destroy Kvasir and make it out of his blood.
Yeah. And aren't all the wells just like filled with booze?
At least one, I think.
And then you have, there's the whole thing about Odin. The only thing that he consumes is mead, and mead is the, you know, is like the fluid and, of inspiration.
And if you look at actual historical sources from, I think, basically every single Indo-European tradition that we have any records of, there are people praising mead. You can find it in the Greeks. You can find it in the Romans. You can find it in the Baltics, in the Slavs, in the Germanics. You dig? There's always someone praising specifically mead.
Yeah. Yeah, that
and
goes
not
into
just
the
alcohol broadly. Like,
yeah, that goes into the sacredness of honey and bees as well. But that's a whole we could do a whole episode about that. But with
oh, absolutely.
I mean, they found ancient mead distilleries. They found stuff that they found remnants of them making ancient alcohol. It's always been there.
Well, even one of the major, you know, one of the major Bronze Age archaeological cultures that were our ancestors from Northwest Europe were the Bellbeakers. What were Bellbeakers for? Drinking alcohol.
Yeah. And how many of our customs are especially our rituals, how many of our rituals are just completely, our authentic rituals are based around alcohol? Almost all of them.
A lot of them.
Almost every single one.
Even the Christians do it. Yeah. Why are they drinking wine at church?
It's just, it's too much. And then the tattoo thing, we know for a fact, like, that the, you know, Germanic tribes have always had tattoos. It's been, you know, I don't have any tattoos. I'm not a tattoo guy. I don't really like tattoos, and I don't really like the idea of having, there's guys that have, get tattoos on their face, and like, but that's, that my, and I'm going to admit 100%, my aversion to tattoos is because of modern social etiquette, you know, maybe because of the connotation that comes around people that are heavily tatted in our community now. You know, I mean, it has to do with modern.
Well, there's also the fact that modern tattoos are when you talk about tattoos traditionally, they have spiritual and social, you know, it's about a mannerbund or something getting tattoos as a sign that you passed a rite of passage or something. It's not about, you know, going down to the tattoo parlor on the corner when you got drunk on a Saturday and picking out what looks good and seems good to identify your unique snowflake identity because it looks good as an aesthetic thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like anti-booze, anti-tattoos. You know who else is anti-tattoos? Followers of Judaism. You know, you can't get buried at their like ancestral plot if you have tattoos. You know, the only ideologies, the only religions we see that have these aversions, that have these laws, are Abrahamic ones. So it's like he's very, very much, you know, in favor of, I mean, he burnt churches down. So it's like he's very, very much against Christianity. However, he has these vague trappings of, you know, Calvinist ideology in his in Vargology.
And another,
yeah. So moving on, before we're going to, man, you were right. We are running out of time really quickly. So we're going to try to mow through some of these things. And
I told you the list was going to be awfully long for how verbose we both are. And once we get started.
So, you know, and it's, another thing is, you know, his criticism of Southern Europeans being, he says that they're not European. Which kind of triggered me because I'm part Paisan, so it's like, I'm like, all right, dude, get out. He had his one video where it's like, he's like, this is European. This is European. He shows like these like blonde haired ladies with the little braids, and they're in wheat fields and blue eyed children. He said, this is not middle. This is not European. This is Middle Eastern. And he shows like a Sicilian guy eating a piece of pizza. I'm like, dude, get it. Number one. And I talked about this in one of my previous videos. You know, there's been genetic research that shows that Italians, even Sicilians, it's like something like less than 4% of their population have any African admixture. And it's North African admixture. It's not like Sub-Saharans or something like that. You know, it's, and it's not Middle Eastern. It's North African. North African is a different, I guess you could say, phenotype than the Middle Eastern, than the Arabs.
It's the what the Berbers were before they got mixed themselves with Sub-Saharan African and Middle Easterners after the spread of Islam.
Exactly. And we all know that Italy, you know, there's the meme that goes around, well, modern Italians aren't Romans. They're different than Romans. You know why they're different than Romans? Because of how heavily Germanicized they are. They are, you know, after the fall of Rome, the German tribes went bonkers on the boot. You know, I mean, they went hog wild on the boot. You know, they went and they took it to all the Pisans, and they you know, left their genetics behind. That's why Northern Italians, you know, they have blue and green eyes and light hair, and you know, I have Northern Italian family members that are gingers. You know, I mean, so it's like there's plenty of, and they're full blood Italians. So it's like I have from my mom's side, there's Germanic admixture. There's a reason that they're 6 feet tall. There's a reason that they wear pants. There's a reason that they eat the food that they do. There's a reason that their language is so different, because modern Italians are Germanicized Romans.
Hard to really disagree with any of that.
Yeah. So it's like when he comes out with this, Southern Europeans aren't European. They're Middle Eastern. It's just false. It's just not true. And you know, somebody said about infighting, you know, that's what's a bigger infight than the Med gang versus Anglo gang versus Rune gang or whatever they call themselves now. So it's like,
you know, and I mean, I will say that, you know, I don't desire to see Italians mixed with Germans to destroy their unique differences and stuff either, but we're under the same umbrella.
Yeah. So, yo, another thing that is within Vargology is this concept of anti-hierarchy. He is against the idea of hierarchy, that every man should, like, you know, be completely, which is cool. Like, if that's what you believe, I have nothing against that. You know, if you believe that 100%.
I do, because it doesn't, again, if you're an actual theist and an actual polytheist, there's clearly hierarchy and social structure amongst every pantheon I'm familiar with.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, we had a caste system. If you don't, like, there is literally, you were born into a caste system. And I'm not saying we should bring back the caste system, which people accuse me of, but we had a caste system. There was an inborn, you were born into the system of hierarchy. Like, you didn't have a choice. Hierarchy is,
I would say, I don't love the use of the term caste, just because it tends to be associated with the, you know, the Hindu-Indian way, where it becomes actually a racial thing as well as a class thing, and the barriers become so high that there's not enough upward, you know, it doesn't have the upward and downward movement that a healthy hierarchy requires.
Yeah, and speaking of that, he, you know, and a lot of his audience has assumed this terminology, like calling people thralls, like to insult them, like, oh, you're a thrall, dude. Like, the thrall caste back in the day wasn't, like, they weren't like dishonorable. They were just a functional member of society, and you know, there was laws. You weren't allowed to like just like do whatever you want to them. Like, they were servants or whatever. They had to be told what to do.
Yeah, but you also had a pretty paternal relationship with them if they're your thralls. I mean, in some sense, they're similar to your children. I mean, you're responsible for them. You're responsible for them if they commit a crime, too.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. If your thrall goes out and kills somebody, guess what? You're in trouble. You know, you take the blame for it. It's like, you know, when your kids go out and do some crime, you have to pay the fines.
And again, it's not like you could just kill them like they were subhuman. Even Eric Eric the Red left Iceland because he killed his neighbor's thrall.
Yeah. And you know, you had to go to the thing, and you had to plead your case, and you had to do all this stuff, because if you didn't, you were, you know, in trouble. You had to pay up money. You had to give up one of your thralls, and which sucked, because, you know, as Mr. Griff said, they were like, you know, a thrall. A lot of times, thralls were part of the family unit, the greater family, the tribal unit, for generations. So it's not like they were this like subhuman garbage cut. And there was a lot of upward mobility. If you were an honorable thrall, if you went and you kicked some ass in war, if you were like a really brilliant guy, or if you were really special or talented or something, you could ascend the classes. Like, it wasn't like forever and ever and ever and ever until death. If you did something great, obviously, if you are a like compound, homestead, you know, tribe or whatever, a multi-family organization kind of thing. If you are one of these communities, you are not going to overlook somebody that has exceptional talents that can help your tribe. You're just not going to do it. It's just not a good, feasible plan for survival.
Yeah. Again, like I said, you know, a healthy working, again, I say, I really don't like the label caste. I don't, class isn't quite right either, but regardless of what we want to label it, a healthy hierarchy needs upward and downward mobility to be healthy over time and develop the best of the tribe or the nation or whatever the size of the community we're talking about.
Yeah. And you know, it's like a lot of these guys, they refuse hierarchy. They refuse organization.
I will add that I think there is, even in this idea, again, the anti-hierarchy thing is very deeply like a Calvinist Protestant.
Yeah, 100%. Or it's left-hand path, which we know that you know, Varg was very acquainted with. And a lot of these people from these, like, you know, occult circles coming in and saying that they're pagan are acquainted with. And if you're, you know, I have a friend that's a left-hand path guy, and he's a nice guy, he's a good guy. But he doesn't tell me that he's a pagan. You know, he doesn't tell me that he's a polytheist. He doesn't tell me that he's also true. So it's that.
Well, yeah, if you think that humans can do and must ascend to godhood, then you're an occultist. You're a left-hand pathist. You're not even really a theist, I would say, but especially not a pagan.
Yeah. So it's like, it's a lot of these, like I said earlier, like they just, they have this like emotional, visceral reaction to anything that's authority based. I think it's, they're not in this.
Well, again, it also comes back to, you know, again, the, you know, very typical, you know, it's even one that Christians love to bring up, is that, you know, the archetypical LARPy pagan is, I don't kneel before anyone.
Yeah. It's, yeah, 100%. It's like, when I think about it, I just laugh, because it's like, why wouldn't you kneel before gods? Like,
again, it comes back to, if you're an actual theist, a polytheist, moreover, and you actually believe these are real entities, real deities with real power that can really affect your life, you better believe you should be on your knees at least sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, so, you know, here in, like, I adhere to higher, you know, one of the accusations that I get when I'm talking about this kind of stuff is, oh, well, you just want to be the authority. You want to be the Ossipope. Or, like, let me tell you, dude, I adhere to higher, dude, let me tell you, if, you know, Matt Flavelle or Stephen McNallan or Mark Pereer or one of the, you know, the elders in our community call me up and ask me to do something, I'm going to do everything in my power to do it. You know what I mean? Unless I'm like, I literally physically can't. But if they, I'm going to, and I'll tell them, like, look, I really can't do it. But if they're like, hey, man, I really need you to do this, I'm obligated to do it, because they're my boss. You know what I mean? They're, and I'm perfectly fine with that, because they're, you know, they're more experienced. They've earned their positions. They are, you know, they are smarter than me. They're more, you know, wise than me. They're the boss. So it's like, I am obligated to listen to what they have to say. Unless now, if they prove otherwise, if they, like, say one of these guys did something really egregious, then I'll be like, dude, no. Like, you lost your privileges, but they haven't. So, you know.
But I think this stuff also goes back to, it goes back to the same stuff like what you're saying already about Evola, you know, that he's talking about a world where, people actually understand hierarchy and live with that principle that, you know, it's even beyond specifically, you know, as I said, I think it's really specifically an inheritance from Protestantism, but it's also just deeply liberal, the idea that no one can naturally be better than me. I mean, there's even like somewhere hiding, there's the blank slate theory is hiding underneath it.
Yeah.
You know, no one was born better than me, not even a god, much less someone else I meet on the street. Ugh.
Yeah. But I see people say, oh, it's bad timing to come in. Yeah, it is bad timing. But, you know, we planned this beforehand and we did. But you know what? Vargs will be fine. And like I said in the beginning of the stream, you know, I mean, I disavow YouTube for doing that to him. Like, you know, I believe that he should be able to say whatever he wants. Yeah, he's got the fact that they took a discussion item right now. So,
and as I said from the start, as Odin says, you see something that's wrong, you know is wrong. If you have any honor, you're a man standing upright that wants to look yourself in the eye, then yeah, you need to correct it. Again, not that we're dogmatists. You and I can, I'm sure, find, if we were going to sit and probe the depths, I'm sure you and I could find many fundamental disagreements we have. But the thing we do agree on is like fundamental basic that gods are real. They are pluralist. You know, that's what it is to be a polytheist. You believe in many actual gods that are individual different gods.
And, you know, how else are we going to figure out who we are moving forward if we don't have this? So, you know, moving
well, on. Well, again, it's a slippery slope, like I said, and it just leads to, okay, then Wiccans are clearly pagans and polytheists, and it's just pure postmodernism.
Yeah, it's pure, exactly. It's pure postmodernism. And, you know, we mentioned about Evola, about adhering to a higher principle. When you don't adhere to a higher principle, then, you know, you are a worshiper of self. And that's what a lot of these guys are. They're just worshipers of self. So when you, I don't want to muddy up my faith, but when it comes to my faith, when it comes to the practice of spirituality, when it comes to this stuff, this requires authenticity. This requires truth. This requires virtue. This requires that we do it right and we tell the truth. So why would I want to muddy up faith by allowing outside influences in to disrupt it and to pervert it? I'm not. Like I said, you guys that believe this way that we're criticizing
aren't practicing it correctly. They're not practicing it at all.
Yeah.
In what way does Varg practice paganism? I've heard people even say that he just practices paganism because he lives in the country and has a big family. How is that? No, that's called being folkish, not being a pagan. Like, they tend to go together and can, but they're two specific different things.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. There's a big old fight going on in the chat, and that's fine. You know, and this is healthy. You gotta have disagreements.
The thing is, people want to say this is divisive or something, but it's not. We are even just exposing a divide that already exists and identifying it and saying why it exists and diagnosing it and hopefully fixing it by showing some people the path to actually live an authentic pagan life, if that's the path they really want to follow.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're here to help people because our personal experience and our life paths have given.
Tier said, well, it's the timing. Look, here's the deal. Varg is, he is a very large personality. He's going to be fine. I mean, he's going to build his channel back up. He's going to get back to where he was. You know, what are we not allowed to criticize anybody? You know what I mean? How many of you guys are going to go out today and criticize Christian groups that are within the movement? How many of you guys are going to go out and criticize, you know, whatever? Him, you know, so it's like, whatever. If you don't like it, fine. You know what I mean? We're out here trying to tell the truth here. So I'm not gonna whatever. But so next up, you're speaking about like worship of self and stuff. He has this concept of self deification. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it comes back to a lot of the things we had already just talked about, that it's a refusal of, I mean, it's not exactly a refusal of hierarchy. It's somewhat of an inversion, that the idea that, no, I'm just, things are so much about me that I can literally ascend to Odin's chair and on top of Valhalla. Like, and again, it just reflects, how could you even have that thought if you actually truly believe that Odin is real? How could you possibly think that you could replace Odin? Like, I don't know how to describe it other than just absurd on its face. If you even consider that Odin's real, much less actually believe it. And
so here's my deal. So we're going to do, I see everybody in the chat. I'm going to address this. So here's my deal. If you believe what we're criticizing right now, if you are one of the, you know, the placentites, part of Varg's cult, fine. Don't say that you're pagan, because you're lying. That's my issue. My issue isn't that he has personal gnosis. My issue isn't that he has his own views. My issue isn't that he's the whatever. My issue is that he claims to be the source. He claims to be up with, you know, cults that commit suicide and stuff. The reason that I criticize this is because I'm telling people that one man is not the source. When you have one man that pretends to be the source and is lying about being the source, then you run into these issues. The source is the text. The source is the gods themselves. And when you have people that say, oh, well, I don't believe in the gods, and then they turn around, oh, I'm a pagan, but I don't believe in the gods. That's silly, blah, blah, blah. Then you're not helping, and you are not.
Schools that doesn't actually believe that gods are real, but that, you know, say Thor is just, oh, a word for the force of thunder and lightning.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that stuff comes all from the same thing. And I even mentioned, James Frazier, I think, is the name of the author, The Golden Bough.
Yeah. Yep.
And a lot of Varg's stuff is right out of that book. And it's a book that's been completely debunked. But these people that for some reason completely still buy into the naturalist school, which, by the way, Wiccans also do, they look at this book as some kind of theological masterpiece and treat it like a holy scripture or something. And it's a book from what, 1885 or something, somewhere in that period. And it's been
God's understanding these things. If you go to the core of who wrote these things, why they wrote these things, like Euhemerism, like that guy, Euhemerates or whatever his name was. He was an atheist. He was a devout, like, not, I can't say devout, but go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that he was the one who invented it, but the people who leveraged it were the Christians.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they have the two strategies of either the gods you were worshiping aren't real because they were just men that someone decided to elevate later, which I guess is, there's probably something also deeply similar in that to the whole idea of self-deification. I mean, it's basically self-euhemerism.
Yeah.
Imaginations, what pagans could have been or would have been. You know, this is an age where people didn't even admit to each other that sex is real and necessary. And that's where you're taking your inspiration for how nature works, and that should explain the world.
Yeah. It's nuts. It's nuts. It's just not, it's just patently false. And it goes, like, it's like with the, you know, the self-deification. You know, self-deification, he talks about how you can become a god, and we already talked about this, but it's like, it's just not true. It's just not true. It's not found in any of the sources. It's not found in any of the authentic beliefs. It's not found in any of this stuff. It's like complete. Yeah. So, all right, Mr. Griff, we are coming up on an hour. So is there anything else you'd like to add? I think we did a pretty good job of
I think we covered it pretty well. I mean, like you said, people want to talk about, oh, here and now is the place to be divisive and hit Varg when he's down, but
we're going to shut it down for this evening, but, you know, I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in tonight, where the Bog will be back on Hrafnvalk Network next week. I'm going to end on this. I'm going to say it again. I know I said it a bunch of times. I disavow YouTube for shutting Varg down. I don't think anybody should be shut down. I'm not celebrating that at all. This is about philosophies. Here's the bottom line. Varg has put his philosophies out there they are, you know, out there floating. If Arg shuts down his YouTube channel completely forever, am I still allowed to criticize his
enjoy things and fall, take everything down slippery slopes? But it's about how we authentically view what's good for our folk. We're here to help people, guide them to our authentic pagan life, because that's the best way to live, how you and I see it. How is that wrong?
It's not. But I think on that note, we should shut it down. Like I said, you know, much luck to Varg. I know he's going to be perfectly fine. He's been, you know, famous for a long time. He's going to build back up. It's not like, you know, it's not like he's a little guy out here that got stepped on and people are piling on. You know, I mean, it's like, get out of here with that Varg is a victim stuff. That's goofy. But, you know, but I hope, you know, I hope he gets back up to speed. You know, many blessings to his wonderful family. And I hope he keeps talking about permaculture, and I hope he keeps talking about traditionalism, and I hope he keeps putting those ideas out there, because those are absolutely monumental to get into the minds of postmodernist people and get people to wake up and take the folk pill and get back on track and get back to their primordial form and stuff like that. But his philosophical stuff needs to be contested, because it's not true, and that's just the end of the story. And I feel like today we did a very good job, keeping it academic, keeping it philosophical, and not smearing anybody. It's not a personal attack. I think we did a good job of that. But anyway, thank you everybody for tuning in tonight. I'm Big Dave Martell. Follow me on Twitter at Big Dave Martell. Gab of Mine's at Dave Martell. I'm on Facebook. You know, like, subscribe, share, do all that good stuff. But I'll see you guys next week. I might be on Goyfellas tomorrow. Who knows? I'm going to hit a Bruno. And then very soon we have Sound of the Yallerhorn on Neurona Society. And then on Mondays, actually, because of all the YouTube bans, unfortunately, the conduit on Verbo is going to be suspended because of all their shutting down conspiracy videos and stuff. But anyway, hail the folk. Hail the gods. Thank you for joining me tonight, Mr. Griff. I'll see you next week, sir.
Oh, yeah.